Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Our show tonight is focusing on the true love recipe. And in our learning lab, we hope you are in a learning mode tonight. Have tuned in to the program focused on examining sound approaches to finding a mate, the do's and don'ts, the prescription of maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we have a really, really big show tonight. And I look forward to questions and answers. And I'd like to open up to your host for tonight's show, Mark Shaheen. Assalamu alaikum, my good brother.
Alaikum assalam to you, Rashid Salam, and to our very distinguished, esteemed radio listening audience here at IWDM Radio. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is what God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble and generous messenger, and what follows in that excellent salutation. I am Mark Shahid. I'm the host and the producer of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and it's aired here each and every Wednesday. Thursday, and we passed Wednesday yesterday, here on IWDM Radio. And we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. If this is your first time tuning in to IWDM Radio, this is your learning lab. We would like to always invite you to bring it to the lab in terms of questions in regards to the courtship and the sacred institution of marriage. For about 3.5 months, close to going on 4 months, we have conducted here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab the True Love Recipe, where we taking the 26 letters in the English alphabet from A to Z and qualities and characteristics, and my own personal True Love Recipe that I think of qualities and characteristics. They all are natural, organic, no artificial flavors nor colors. Also, the preservatives are natural preservatives designed to sustain and maintain true love in the sacred institution of marriage. And for about the last 3.5 months, we've had some outstanding couples that have been invited to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and they have given their marriage narrative. Many of these couples have been married for many, many years, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, now we have 60 years plus here tonight on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It's going to be a very intriguing, to say the least, marriage narrative that you will hear tonight. We also want you to know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, it has a foundation. Yes, it has a foundation. For disseminating information education, we use three sources. The first source is Al-Quran. That is the final revelation for all of humanity. The second source is the life example of the prophet in living the Quran. And the third source is the tafsir. Tafsir simply means the clear explanation by a scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warth Uddin Muhammad. Those are the three components, the three sources that comprise the foundation for this learning lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as well as the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. So we are very much aware that we have a large audience tonight, those who have called in to the studio, and those who are listening by way of the Internet. I also would like to hear from you, and I know our special guests would like to hear from you, so that you could be a part of this, and we will ask you to come to this learning lab with an open mind and an open heart. But also, the only tools that you need is a sharp pencil or an ink pen and plenty of notebook paper, because we believe that something noteworthy will be said tonight, and you might want to jot it down, ask the question. You might want to add to it, or you might just simply want to just call in, give the greetings, and let us know that what you heard tonight really resonated with you. So those listening by way of the Internet, you have to call into the studio. That number is 714-816-4444. 4673. Once again, if you listen by way of the internet, you do have to call into the studio to ask your question or make your comment. And that number again is 714-816-4673. And you need to press 1. And my engineer will alert me that you're in the queue with your hands up. Before I introduce our outstanding guest couple tonight, I want all of you that's listening in to please listen that when the lines are open for you to ask a question or make a comment, you have to press 1. We don't want to wait till the last minute when we are getting ready to close out and go off the air. You may not be able to get in to ask the question or make a comment. So I'm asking you all to be compliant with that. Press 1. Ask your question. Make your comment. And especially on what our honored guests will be giving tonight on the narrative, their marriage narrative, and also will be indulging them in my true love recipe, and we're on the letter N. It's N4. You know, it's N4 tonight, and it's nice. Would nice be in your true love recipe? Think about that. Would natural be in your true love recipe? Would nurturing be in your true love recipe? And would neat? A neatness be in your true love recipe? Think about that, and we invite you, you know, to share with us if that would be your true love recipe. And because it is a recipe, you may have something else that you like to add to it, or you might want to do some modification. You know, that's all good. So tonight, I am so very honored to have this couple on. Because I think they really epitomize the sacred institution of marriage and commitment and dedication and patience, sabr. What are those things that is needed and necessary to sustain and maintain a healthy, harmonious relationship? A good brother, friend, Imam Yusuf and his wife Zubaida, are on with us here tonight, and they have a very intriguing marriage narrative. The Manunes have been together for 61 years, 61 years. And so it's an honor to have them and welcome them to IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Yusuf Zubaida Manun. Alhamdulillah, it's an honor to have you on as our special guest couple tonight. I know it's a lot of excitement that's in the air and all in regards to your marriage narrative. And what I always like to do is to give, we say ladies first, sisters first. Here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, I know you wouldn't mind that, Imam Yusuf. The first thing I'd like for both of you to do is just take maybe say a couple minutes or so and introduce yourself to our radio listening audience so they'll get a little thumbnail sketch of your background, and then we'll start the interview in terms of how you met. So we don't want to give that away at first. So we're going to start with you, my dear sister Zubaida Manun. Who are you? Who are you? And I know many listening in, they know you and been knowing you for years, but take about a couple of minutes and introduce yourself, and then we'll come to you, Imam. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning.
Thank you so much for inviting us. We're so honored, Brother Sheikh. I'll quickly say that my name is Zubaida Manun. Your radio audience probably know me from working at the Muslim Journal. Since it was October of 69, I started, and I worked there through all of the Muhammad speak, all the different names of the paper, and I retired 2 years ago, and I worked there for 51 years, and I'm living here in Chicago, and, married to Yusuf, and we have two sons. And those two sons gave us 17 grandchildren. And, gave us 17. And out of those 17, five of them have degrees, and five of them are in college as we speak. So that's generally it. And I do know that a lot of the people that prayed for us and listening on your line, their prayers went in for us, and we certainly appreciate that.
Yes, ma'am. And thank you so much. Excellent. So now we're coming to you, Imam Yusuf Manyun, in terms of something in regards to you. Who is Imam Yusuf Manyun? And you got about a couple of minutes to convey mm-hmm. that. Our radio listening audience, and once again, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much, brother. As the wife just said, we're very thankful and grateful that you've invited us to be on your program, and we hope that something that we say this evening will be a benefit not only to ourselves but to your listening audience. My story is really one that's quite simple. I did a long stretch in college. I was incarcerated for close to 54 years. And so most of the people who know me through my wife, because she stuck with me for those 54 years. That's one of the highlights of our marriage. And we, inshallah, we'll be able to go into some of the reasons and the good causes as to why that marriage was sustained under that particular condition. But as far as me, I'm just trying to be a good Muslim, and I've embraced the deen while I was locked up, and I'm very thankful that Allah opened my breast to it. And so hopefully, as I say, as the program goes on, I can give the audience some benefits of what I learned during that time.
Yes, sir. But thank you so much, Imam Manu, for giving that information in regards to yourself as to who you are. And so now I want to go back to you, my dear sister, in regards to your relationship. I have to ask this question. It's always a lead question for me, and I know our radio listening audience would like to know, when did you actually meet? So, Sister Zubeda, when did you meet Yusuf? And when you met him, anything that was outstanding in terms of when you first met him? Can you share something with us, and radio listening audience,
sure.
When you met your husband?
Sure. We were 14. And well, actually, he was 14, I was 15. But by him being 6'1", 6'2", he could have said he was 17 or whatever. But but he eventually ended up telling me he was 15, but later on found out he was 14. But
he wanted to appear a little bit older than what he was then. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and but anyway, when the year finished out, we were the same age, and
okay.
I met him in in the summertime you go to summer school once you were out, and that's what I met him in a geography class. Yeah, in a geography class, and then we start corresponding. He was a basketball player at the school, Phillips High School. And then we started corresponding, and he started coming over visiting us and over in the where I lived. And that's how we started a meeting. Now, one of the things that just shortly that attracted me to him is that he one of his classes was trigonometry. I had never heard of the word, and I'm thinking, what is this? And then I was attracted to his man on there because I didn't know anybody in the world that was taking trigonometry at 14 years old in the 50s.
Ooh, yes.
Yes. And that, I mean, and I stuck with that. Every time I would be with him, I would just look at his mind. What is he thinking? And that's how we got united.
Yeah, so that, okay, that's good. All right, Imam Yusuf. You all met in summer school, as your wife said, and geography of all subjects. I don't know if they teach that even today now, but I do remember when geography was a subject. So, Brother Imam, so when you met your wife-to-be at that time and everything, what is it that you can recall that was attractive to you about her? Anything? She was just fabricated in terms of you taking trigonometry as a 14-year-old. I can't think of anybody I know that took trigonometry that early. Talk to us, if you would, Imam Yusuf.
You know, Brother Imam, I'm sitting here pondering the question and thinking about it. And I have to say, and you know, you're looking back on your life with 2020 vision, and I have to say that I see now clearly how Allah was orchestrating my life at that particular time, orchestrating Zubaydah and I were coming together at that particular time. Because little did I know that when I graduated from high school in Phillips in 1961, if someone had told me that in 6 years you're going to be on death row, I know they told me they were crazy. And so looking back, I had to look back on my life in the context of what has occurred since she and I got together.
So Brother Imam, let me kind of direct in this way in terms of before we get there, obviously you know that obviously, I mean, you're just 14 years of age and you probably was anxious to get to 15 years at that point. But when you met her, your initial meeting with her, and you saw her, or what, did you initiate the conversation? Or did she initiate the conversation? And if so, what stands out in your mind, if you can go back and remember, that really stood out for you in regards to her? That's the question.
Well, I knew, but I can't really respond being truthful because that was nothing big that I saw.
Okay.
Just good looking sister, you know, kind of foxy. You know, and so
now you're talking, okay? Okay.
The little magnet I had was enough to pull it, you know. And
okay.
So we built a relationship on that. But
okay.
Aside from that was you know, just like, as I say, Brother Man, I hope we get into it. I mean, this is just a law orchestrated this thing from Jump Street, from the time he was 14 years old. He chose the one out of the community that I was dealing with that would sustain my incarceration for 54 years. I mean, that's he chose. I didn't see that in it.
That's good, because, and the reason that I'm asking that question, because here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, we talk about chemistry. We talk about chemistry, and chemistry is a strong mutual attraction that two people can have, you know, for each other. Chemistry don't always have to be physical attraction. It could be other attraction, you know, just like she was attracted to the mind that you had and the age that you were at that time, and taking trigonometry. I mean, that's intriguing in and of itself. So attraction can be many different things. Oftentimes most people just see it as a physical attraction, but when you're very, very young, oftentimes it is, in fact, a physical attraction, and then it piques the interest to really want to know who is that person. So I'm coming back to you now, my dear sister Zebeda, and ask you, you know, after you was able to ascertain that there was an attraction, you had attraction to him, he had attraction to you, that's natural and that's normal in that regard. I'm thinking that perhaps wanted to know, you know, he was tall, he was handsome and all of that, and he played basketball, and usually when you have that height, that's what they want you to do when you come into high school, or at least the offer is made to those boys at that particular time, and still is probably today when you got that height in terms of basketball. But you wanted to know him better, and so my question to you is, when did you all start talking, and what was the conversation like early on from what you can remember of the conversation? And in that conversation, were the things that were said that even made you more attracted to him? Sister Zebeda?
Yes, the conversation was him. That's all I saw was him. The conversation was all about him.
It was all about him.
For some reason, with the help of Allah, for some reason, I knew that this was it. I wasn't going anywhere, and it didn't seem like he was going anywhere, even though they were pulling him now. Remember, he was a basketball player.
You're saying to us, obviously, you know, basketball player, star basketball player, you're on a team. I remember high school used to go, there would be other girls that would be interested in him at that particular time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. But like I say, it wasn't nothing special other than I appreciate his intellect and other things, mm-hmm. and he was always able to tell me things that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a Catholic school.
Okay.
I went to a Catholic school when I was graduated from eighth grade, and then
okay.
I went to attended Hirsch High, which was out of my district,
mm-hmm.
public school, but my mother wouldn't let me attend the school in the neighborhood. And so I wanted to go to Phillips, DuSalvo, Dunbar. So anyway, I went to Hirsch High, which was a mixed school at the time, mostly Jews. But I think him and I began to hook minds when he began to tell me things and I began to listen. And he always made sense. And and I just always respected him, even among his peers. I saw how they treated him and respected him, and
mm-hmm.
never got into a big thing with him. And
yes.
I saw this at a very young age, and
mm-hmm.
that's, I said, okay, I think I got something here.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So back to you, Brother Imam. You heard your wife, and so my question to you is that both of you all are young and everything, and probably have, you know, your dreamy eyes and all of this. Both of you are attracted to each other, and all in your conversation with her. Do you recall when marriage first came into your mind, in regards to the era that you were in and all of that? And, you know, that was oftentimes, I think it was really encouraged in the culture at that time that you should get married. And it was not uncommon for young people to actually get married then. What do you recall about that? Did you initiate that conversation in terms of marriage, or did she, or what? Talk to us a little bit about that at that point.
Well, really, ma'am, the neighborhood that you narrative that you just put out.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on, I can tell you exactly when I was told about marriage. That was when she got pregnant. That was when she got pregnant. That's when mothers began to talk about marriage. And mother, she was insistent upon that, you know, that this is happening, you're going to marry her, and I'm not going to stop crying until you do. And so that was when we started thinking about marriage, is when she got pregnant.
Yes.
And so we got married June the 7th, 1962.
That was June that you said 7th?
Yeah, June the 7th, 1962.
Okay.
Yes.
And at that time, you were 15 then, right?
Oh, no. I was
still 14.
She and I first got together, met when we were in 57. That was, so we're talking about 4 years later, she got pregnant. So
you're
I was 18 at the time.
You were 18, and Zebeda, you was 18 or 19 at that time.
I was 19.
19. Okay. Okay. Good. So it wasn't. It was much of a choice then, as oftentimes at that particular era that we lived in, if in fact that if a boy got a girl pregnant or a young lady pregnant, that the obligation was to really marry her. That's what was being taught at that particular time. So I got to ask.
We weren't Muslims then.
We know. It wasn't Muslim, so I want to say that they weren't Muslim. So we're building up to that. We're building up to that chronologically here. So what did your mother say to you, Zebeda? Okay, so you went to a Catholic school and everything, and you met this young man, and then maybe 4 years afterwards you were pregnant. What did she say to you, and had she met him before then? Zebeda, talk to us, if you would, please.
Yeah, she had met him, and she liked him, and she protected him because the boys that I grew up with, they didn't like, you know, other boys coming in their neighborhood, taking their, you know, the girls in the neighborhood.
Girls in their neighborhood.
So. So she always protected them if they saw that they was trying to gather to, you know, jump on him or something. And then she would come out and she would tell them, don't put your hands on him, or either if you do, I'm going to tell who took the ice cream out of the ice cream truck. I'm going to tell who stole this, who did that, took the watermelon off the watermelon man's truck. You know, back then, you know, the man would come through on the horses, you know, watermelon, get your watermelons here.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Everything, all of that was done, she would protect him because he was a nice guy. And of course, she wanted to kill me because she had told me all the things, the do's and the don'ts. And but other than that, nothing special. And we went on and did what we had to do. And he was in college. I was in college. And, he would come down and see me in college. And that's the scenario of that.
Yeah.
And then,
I wanted you to finish in regards to that, because my next question was going to be in regards to his parents. Did you ever get an opportunity to meet his parents? And if so, what was that meeting like?
Oh, yeah. I met her. In fact, our sons grew up in the same building as she lived in. You know, we come out of B-Wells. And during that time, it was hard to get a place to stay if you had children. That was awful. So we stayed in some nice places, but eventually I had to move out. And because we had children, and then my husband, he told me, he said, well, look, Jess, we had another child by then. He said, Jess tried to put in application at the projects, because he grew up in the projects, I grew up in the projects.
Yeah.
And he said, and maybe by chance you can get it. And with the help of Allah, the building that my mother-in-law, his mother, lived in, the neighbor upstairs had been there 18 years and she decided to move. I had put in the application, and my mother-in-law went up there and talked to them, and they said, sure, we can get her in there because we like to get families together. So that's how that happened. So she was on the second floor. I was on the third floor. And he had an excellent mother. Her name was Amina Muhammad. And she taught me everything. He wrote a letter to a mom teacher. And she taught me everything about taking care of the house. I would come home and a big old cake on the table, or she would be on the floor scrubbing, you know, food was done, and she was excellent. So, yes, I had met her and talked to her and everything.
So I'm going to go back to you now, Imam Yusuf. And so your wife already has said that your mother met her. She liked her. She just accepted her almost, you know, like she was her biological mother, and talked to her and taught her different things and everything. Did your mother ever say anything to you while even you two were together or anything in that regard in terms of Zubeda, how she thought and felt about her to you?
Well, no. Once we got married, then the course of our lives, nothing has changed. I had earned a basketball scholarship to Iowa State.
Okay.
And so I went to Iowa State, and she stayed there in Chicago and with my mother and her mother, and raised the boy while I went to school. But the situation, this is where I'm saying that I'm looking back on it now, brother man. And
yes,
I had to acknowledge the spiritual aspects of that union. I mean, when I look at it, I just see Allah orchestrated this whole affair for a purpose. It's almost like you see it just developing and becoming two individuals who are now on your radio program talking about what we went through during a period of time, and what we kept together during a period of time, and how we kept it together, and on the strength of what did we keep it together on? This is what I'm saying, that I can't describe our association with God. I can't describe our marriage. I can't describe our relationship together unless I put in it God. There's no way I can get around it. It won't make sense.
Yeah.
Unless we include God.
Oh yeah, we want you to express that. So let's pick it up here and get to where I think that you really want to go, and then it will all make sense, you know, in terms of this is your narrative. This is your narrative with your wife and everything. So you're a good basketball player. You two are married. I'm thinking, I'm hearing that by now you have the two mm-hmm. children, and you're still in college. You get a scholarship. You're going to Iowa to play basketball. She's in Chicago with her mother and your mother, and they kind of, I guess, just, you know, kind of looking after her, so to speak. And I don't think that maybe, I don't know, it probably been difficult in terms of earning a living there with two young children. But now, as far as where you were at that particular point, pick up the narrative from that point playing basketball. So what happens at that point?
Well, my being at Iowa State was for 3 years, because I left after 3 years because they considered my being disloyal to the facility, and I had solicited the attention of another coach at another institution. And when he got back that I had done that, then this is when I was discharged from that particular institute, from Iowa State, because this was an expression of disloyalty.
Okay.
And so then my basketball career, for the most part in college, was over. And so then I concentrated on my education by transferring to Southern Illinois. And there, I understand now, during this time, 64, 65, 66, around that time, now I'm being being influenced by the social climate at that particular time. Now we get into the 60s. Now we get into the black power rhetoric. We get into the death of Malcolm X. We get into Emmett Till. That was a little bit before Martin Luther King. We get into the Nation of Islam. We get into that. The Vietnam War. We get into this turmoil that affected my thinking, and in turn the relationship that my wife and I had with each other, and the cause of my incarceration that resulted from this climate, this thinking, this black power desire, this black power rebellion. All these things had a factor at that particular time, and unless we considered all these things, here was my marriage in the midst of all of this, and so this is why I'm saying that unless we look at it from a spiritual point of view, it just doesn't make any sense.
Understand. No, it's understandable. You know, I think you set the stage for it, you know, the outside influences and all of this. You're still young, still impressionable and all. But pick it up from that point in terms of how this all came about, and everything. This is your marriage narrative. So I think, you know, radio listening audience is in tune to what you're saying, the turbulent 60s, a lot of things going on, a lot of things happening, a lot of people misdirected, misguided in that regard. And then ultimately making decisions, sometimes bad decisions at that time. Pick it up from that point, Billy Ma'am.
Yes, well, I went to prison. My crime occurred May 23rd, 1967,
mm-hmm.
over a traffic stop that went bad, and
okay.
as a result of that, I was convicted, sentenced, and was initially given the death penalty, and that was overturned in 1972 by the United States Supreme Court saying that the sentence as imposed, the death penalty as imposed, was unconstitutional. So that freed everybody throughout the country who had been placed on death row by what the court considered was unconstitutional means. And so that's set in process, my going back to court and being given a sentence of 100 to 300 years with the possibility of parole. And so I started going to the parole board in 1977, and I was not paroled until 2021. And so now, during all of this time, from the day that I was locked up until I got out, the marriage that Zebeda and I had stepped into at the age of 18 and 19, it weathered this storm. And the story that I really want to tell is the story of how a wife during this time stuck with me in 54 years of incarceration, and by what means. And this is when we bring into the spiritual part, the reality of it. What enabled this marriage to be sustained? What kept it alive? What kept it to the point where we're talking on this program today? And now we begin to see the purpose, the spiritual purpose in all of this. It was to, in our judgment, when I say our, I'm talking about Zebeda and myself, in our judgment, it is to showcase Allah. It is to showcase the religion that enabled us to weather a storm for that 54 years. Everything that happened prior to that, everything that happened from the point of our meeting when we were 14 and 15 years old, it led through all of that for the purpose of showing the glory and the worth of this religion that we call El Islam. You and I talk.
Let me do this because we're getting close to a break here. Let me do this. Let me go back to your wife, Zebeda, and just ask you, you know, in terms of obviously when you heard about it, in terms of, you know, his incarceration and everything, could you get to the radio listening audience in terms of actually your feelings at that point? And we want, in terms of the timeline, want to let our radio listening audience know that time they were not Muslim at that particular point. So, Sister Zebeda, if you would share your feelings, your emotions at that particular time, and then we'll fast forward to when you came into the Nation of Islam at that point.
What I would like to say is that, of course, you know, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I was shocked that this was happening because everything was happening fast. And, you know, I had two little guys to try to raise. And we by the way, both of them are graduates of Sister Claire Muhammad School.
Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar.
Yeah, one was a service in high position, and the other one is imam, and he was educated in Dubai and in Arabia. And the oldest one, there are seven wonders of the world, and in his travel, he has seen six. So I'm really proud. Yeah, I'm really proud of them. And they've been very nice. They didn't beat me up and curse me out in the house. And they said I was rough on them, but their father had, he was running the house from the penitentiary, and he told me, he said, now in a few minutes, those guys going to be strong, you know, and you're not going to be able to just punch them around or whatever, and he was right. And, you know, they had complaints on me. They go down and see him. But anyway, getting back to when this happened, it was a very difficult stage, but being a person, I had faith, and the sisters have to have faith in their men, because like the imam said, well, he said so many things, but I remember when we were in Fayetteville, North Carolina, he told us, he said, to be patient with us, have faith in us. He said that we come from a long ways in chain and whatnot, you know. But anyway, and by the way, the imam did support me, and that was the reason why he supported me. He said, he told the ones that were present, he said, I support this sister because she had faith in her husband. And that I did. That I did. So that was very important, sister, to have faith in them. Give them a chance, you know, give them a chance. And not only that, I was coming into Islam because Yusuf had started going to the Islamic teachings. It was Yusuf Shaw back then, and Ajin, Muhammad out of Gary. And,
are we talking about Minister Yusuf Shaw, who was the minister one time there in Chicago headquarters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very familiar with
him.
Yes.
And so just quickly, Yusuf was giving the bits and pieces, and I kept saying, why would you want to get into a religious thing when we're trying to get you out of here? But anyway, as time went on and sisters would ask me, Zubeda, how do you handle this? How do you do it? And you know what I would tell them? I believed. I believed. That's why I'm maintaining it, because I believed in Islam, and I wasn't going to try to give Islam a black eye. A lot of people giving Islam a black eye, calling themselves Muslims and not practicing no Islam. So, so that's what I did. And so as he gave me bits and pieces, and then listening, you know, to the Imam Muhammad as well as studying on my own, it gave me strength to endure. And I mean, Brother Sheikh, I mean, I endured some horrible things. Let me just quickly say one horrible thing is that they had a van that went down to one of the prisons because they was transferring them all over.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a van. And this van got in an accident going down to the prison. And, you know, everybody on the van, and I probably knew them all, you know, Spanish, African-Americans, whatnot. Everybody on the van, it was on the news, everybody on the van was killed. That day I didn't go.
That day I didn't go
to visit. And I got a lot of phone calls and people had wanted to say, they were telling me, they said, oh, I'm so glad to hear your voice. I heard. I said, yes. They said, did you know? I said, everyone, even the driver. But anyway, that's what it is.
Yes, ma'am. This is, this is really a very, very intriguing story when we can see how Allah is in control of everything that's happened thus far. We do have to take a pause for the cause and everything. Want to say to our radio listening audience, please stick and stay. Don't stray away. We're going to take a pause for the cause. And I know that our radio listening audience, they do probably have questions or comments thus far. We'll continue this interview on the other side. We'll get it. We'll bring it to a conclusion, and then you'll have your opportunity to call in, ask the question, make a comment, and please keep it as brief as you can, because we want to give the menus an opportunity to respond to your question or to your comment. So we're going to ask you once again to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back after this pause for the cause.
Hey, Mark, you do have one hand raised. You want to take that hand?
No, we're going to go. We're going to go, and then we'll come back. Okay.
Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. Keep it short.
What he wants to, and he did explain it.
Keep it
short. And you go.
Hey, your mic is open.
Covered all over, wrapped in God's love, covered all over, a woman truly worthy of, covered all over. By God above, who could ask for anything more? I know sometimes things don't go right. No matter how hard you might try, seemingly you just can't win the fight. People talk about the way you dress. Lord knows they talk about you. But to the Muslim brother, you are a flower in the early morning dew. Oh, covered all over, wrapped in God's love. Covered all over, a woman truly worthy of, covered all over, from head to toe, dressed by God above. Who could ask for anything more? Out of all of all the women in this whole wide world, you're the only one to bring a smile to the master's face. On the judgment day, I'm sure he'll say, into the garden my flower, I prepared it for you this day. You were strong, you held on tightly to me. Yes, you did. So I wrap you up in my words and wisdom, yeah, and made you a light for the whole of humanity. Covered all over, wrapped in God's love.
And And we're back, and I am Mar Shaheed, and you're listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Mm-hmm. And I have, as my special guest, the Manoons, Imam Yusuf and his wife, Zubeda Manoon, have graced us here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And want to thank Engineer for the excellent selection. That was a special dedication to you, Brother Imam Yusuf and Zubeda Manoon, covered all over by Imam Umar Siddiqui, entertainer extraordinaire, with a beautiful, beautiful production that he made years ago. We want to say once again to our radio listening audience, we will be opening up your mics in just a few minutes. We ask that you do be patient. I want to give the Manoons an opportunity to conclude their marriage narrative. We're almost there in terms of that. And you can begin to start lining up by pressing 1 if you're already in the studio. Those of you who are listening by way of the internet, you have to call into the studio. Once again, that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, 714-816-4673. If you have a question or comment on this marriage narrative, you have to call that number and press 1. Press 1. And we just switched engineers, and we have engineer extraordinaire, my dear sister, Dapresa Abdul Hadi. Assalamu alaikum to you, Sister Dapresa.
Wa alaikum assalam to you, Brother Mark Shaheed, and to your guests and to the IWDM listenership.
Alhamdulillah, just checking in with you to make sure that you're there in place. And I want to say to our radio listening audience that we want you to press 1 early. Don't wait till the very end. Don't wait till it's late and then we're closing out. We won't be able to come back to open up your mic. So please be in compliance with that. And I know we have a large audience. Know some of you have questions or comments that you want to ask our honored guest couple here tonight. So we ask you just be patient for a few more minutes. We want to give them an opportunity to complete their marriage narrative. It has been very intriguing, very enlightening, very informational, and I think very educational. As Imam Yusuf said, that Allah was in this all the way, and you heard from his wife, Zubeda, in terms of faith. You heard what she said about our distinguished leader, Imam Wafdi Muhammad, in the support that she got from him, and the admiration in terms of the faith that she had in regards to her husband. So we're going to pick this up, you know. I'm going to you now, Imam Yusuf. In terms of now you're incarcerated, you heard your wife was talking about, in terms of now you're looking at the Nation of Islam. You're looking at the Nation of Islam while being incarcerated, as oftentimes so many young brothers that actually are incarcerated and they're given time, and now it's time to start to thinking and reflecting over your life. Talk to us a little bit, if you would, take a couple of minutes, in terms of how and when that came to you in being incarcerated and how it affected you to arrive at that decision. Imam Yusuf?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Imam. Those of us who have been incarcerated and those of us who think about the negative side of incarceration, we have, I've discovered, a positive side.
Mm-hmm.
The human being in many ways is like a plant. And certain plants will not thrive unless you put them in the proper environment. You can't bring, for example, bananas to Illinois and expect to get a good crop. You can't expect to bring mangoes here and get a good crop. It's just not going to happen. So you have to plant your plant in an environment where it can grow. That is what had to happen with me. I had to be placed in an environment, prison, where I could develop and grow in terms of what Allah wanted me to be. One of the things that occurred to me when I first got locked up and I was in jail, this is about the first week or so I was in jail on a very serious case.
Mm-hmm.
My thinking was then that for this to befall me, for me to be in this situation, to have come from my name being mentioned in Sports Illustrated to this, I have offended God. That was my feeling, that I have, for this to befall me, I have offended God. And so that set, my mindset then was, how can I best get back within Allah's grace? Now, I had grown up under Christianity, the whole thing, but now I'm really giving serious thought. I've been planted in an environment where I can grow and give time to serious thought about life, about God, about my relationship with God. So that began. And so what you see now is the end result of what started back there in 1967. That was a growth and development that has brought me to the point where I'm talking to you as I'm talking to you now. So anyway, to make a long story short, with respect to the incarceration, my incarceration started taking advantage of something that Jesus said in the Bible. He said certain things you can only acquire through fasting and prayer. So those two things, plus I add study, fasting, prayer, and study. Those three things led me to the religion of Islam. It led me to invite my sabbaters to join me. It led me to the conclusion that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger. And that is what I say at the beginning of this talk, that my whole relationship with Zubaydah from the time I was 14 years old was a starting point to where we got to a point where we are now, to bring glory and recognition of what Allah has said in the Quran. You and I talked about it. He said, this day have perfected for you religion. I completed my favor on you, and I've chosen you as Islam as your way of life. This is what the Beta and I bring to the table, to want the believers to understand, want humanity to understand that Allah has given us all that we need to be successful, given us all that we need to pull through an adversity that Zubaydah and I have come through. This is what He's given it to us. If we use it, believe in it, and start walking, there's, you and I talked about it, there's nothing that we can't do.
Oh, definitely. So, let me say this to our radio listening audience, and you know, that is in the Surah 5, I got 3 of the Quran, so you might want to take that down and read it. Most of us know that in the Revelation, we know the first 5 ayahs that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Surah 96 of the Quran, Surah Iqra. But we also need to know that Surah 5, ayah 3, this was the last ayah, 5:3, is what Imam Yusuf is quoting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. That's the last ayah that came to his messenger. And so please, you know, read it in its entirety. I got to go back to you, and then we want to get to our radio listening audience, so we're going to kind of expedite this here. Sister Zubaydah, you know, here it is that your husband, you love him, you're committed, truly committed, dedicated, you got faith in Allah first and foremost, you have faith in him. Yes, you can have faith in human beings too, and all, And you have faith in what our beloved leader, Imam Waqidi Muhammad, has said to you in encouraging you. But now he's become Muslim and, of course, the Nation of Islam, and then the transitioning. So just share with us, you know, very succinctly, when, and the communication is there. And so he's still influencing and still impacting you and your two sons and all. When he said that to you, can you share with the radio listening audience in terms of this transition, as he so eloquently articulated, in terms of the importance of prayer, fasting, and began to study and all? Share with the radio listener, if you would, please, as he communicated this. You. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, by me believing and having faith in him, at first, you know, it was kind of mind-boggling, you know. I said, why would he want to do this at this time? But as time went on, it got through. And he told me to go over there to the Nation. He said, just listen. And he would give me guidance that way. He would tell me, put the boys in the school. He would tell me things to do. And everything was working out fine, even though I wasn't quite as strong at the very beginning. But as time went on, you know, when you go to the penitentiary, you know, you go on a bus or a van. And when I would be on this bus or van, I was hearing what people were saying about this brother, supposed to be a Muslim or whatever they called us, what he was teaching them. Because Jesus said when he first went to the penitentiary, he said he couldn't believe the people he was around couldn't read and write.
Okay.
And he started teaching them how to read and write. And he said some of them didn't even know how many bones in the body and, you know, and parts of the body, the arms and muscles and things like that. And he started teaching. So I had begun to hear these conversations from people on the bus, how their loved ones were developing because they're listening to this man in there that's teaching them. So anyway, as time went on, I just began to have more faith in him because things was working out, continuing to do more things. And with your radio listeners, let them know that some good deeds, you don't know how much they weigh. You know,
yes.
You do not know how much your good deeds weigh. So keep those good deeds going. The lady you have to cross the street with her baggage, or the man or the woman that was in front of you at the counter in the stores, and, you know, they don't have enough money, and you know how you just tell them, go ahead, I'll take care of it. Many of us have done that. You don't
yes.
know these little things. These small deeds have a lot of weight. But anyway,
yeah.
After Yusuf and I got going, we figured it out. We have to showcase this religion, you know. And, you know, I had begun to see clearer and clearer, and things were working out. And
yeah.
I began to see the respect that they had for our religion. Even on the street, Brother Sheikh, even on the street, the thugs, they would call me, hey, Miss Yusel, and little gang members and everything, and they would say, how you doing? And they would ask about him, and they would tell me, tell him that I'm doing okay, I have a job, I got married. So I began to hear a lot of that for many, many years, and that encouraged me. But I did, you know, want to showcase this religion and be
yes.
an example, you know.
Well, let me say this. This is a beautiful, beautiful story, and actually really a movie. A movie could be made of this narrative that you and Yusuf have. I want to get to one last question. Of course, I have very many more to ask, but I don't want to keep our radio listening audience actually waiting, because one of the things that I'm hearing, the radio listening audience is hearing, not only that dedication, commitment, the faith, and all the steadfastness, the patience, the perseverance, all of those things, and a lot of these things that I'm saying is in the true love recipe. It's in the true love recipe. Some of them we haven't got to yet, but it's in the true love recipe. And also listening, this is something that don't want it to be overlooked or looked over, because you're still listening to your man. You're still listening to your husband, and he's incarcerated. And you're still following what it is that he's saying, you know, and everything. And as he was transforming while being incarcerated, he was communicating with you what it was that he was learning. And this was an attraction from the very beginning. So my last question before we open up the mics, and I'm going to ask you to be as succinct as you possibly can in this report, is that when you, and I'm going to ask him too, when you found out that he would finally be released, the 54 years in incarceration, what was your thinking, what was your feeling, and everything that you can share with the radio listening audience? And then I'm going to go to Imam Yusuf, and when he finally got the news in terms of the perseverance and all for this 54 years. Talk to us. This is Zabeda.
Okay, quickly, I want to throw it in front of that before I started this journey, when the children were small, I didn't know which way to go, and this is just a quickie. I asked Allah, I sit in a chair, I faced the east, I wasn't a Muslim then, and I told him I didn't know what to do at this point. You know, I was only, I think I'm 24 years, 25 years older than my youngest boy. And I asked him, I said, what do you do in a case like this? I always wanted to be a good, decent, honest woman, you know, because they were coming. I mean, the janitors, you know, they'll fix this if I do that and all of this. But I told Allah, I said, if I'm to wait for this man, let me know and give me everything that I would need to endure it. And alhamdulillah, you know, I said, praises be to Allah. And then after that, I said, and if it's not for me to stay with this man and whatnot, then alhamdulillah, that's your wish. So I just wanted to let you know that it was his wish for me to stay, because he gave me everything I needed to endure. This wasn't no easy job, okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I just want the radio audience to know that. Now, when he got out, I was there. He had to get so many votes. It was in Springfield, and I went down there. And when they counted out the votes, this was the first time in all the years he had been turned down 38 times. So 38 times I've gone before the board, they turned it down, and it hurt my heart, but I said, well, Allah has given me everything I need. I can move on. And but this time when I went, I told Yusuf, I say, the angels were there. Everything was just wide open. And he said, Billy, I said, yes. I said, when they called for the vote, most of the time it was no, no, no. But this time, all the votes were strong. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so, how do you vote? Yes, they were strong votes. And to me, that was a lot kicking in. Mrs. Downey, how do you vote? Yes, like it's time. And I thought, and then I was counting the votes, and he needed 7. And once I counted, and they was going to the 8th vote, which means it was more than he needed, I raised up my pen. I say, he made it. And I came up out of there, because the lawyer had told us if he made it, we can bring him home the same day. Hello. I was trying to get him, but I was in Springfield. But yeah, the lawyer said if he make it, you can bring him home the same day. But they had to the paperwork is what was holding up, and they did call me and they said that we understand that you are here, but you can get him tomorrow by 11. And they told me, they said, we're going to send an agent out. And when will you be home? And, you know, this process. And they sent an agent out. He came about 9 or 10, but they sent him out. And then the next day, and that was it. I was so, so happy.
I know it's emotional.
And we did go and get it.
Well, yes. Yeah, I tell you. So I got to go to you very succinctly. Brother Imam, we got people waiting in the queue. Please press 1. You got a question or comment. I know we should have some people out there with a question or comment. This is really a beautiful love story. That's what I'm calling it. Imam Yusuf, be very succinct, if you would, please. I know it would be more you want to say, but you'll probably be able to answer some of that and maybe some of the questions that our listeners would have for you and Sister Lubeda. When you found that out, were you present? Because as listening to your wife, it's like you wouldn't know until you was actually there. So were you present in the court?
No.
You weren't present?
No.
Okay, so they had to come and notify you. So when you found that out, if you could very succinctly share your thoughts, your feelings, and everything at that point.
Well,
Brother Imam?
I called her on the phone when I thought that the hearing would be over. And sure, it was over. And so when I called her, she said two words, "You made it." And
So what she said, you made it. I gotta ask you this: were you standing up or were you sitting down so you couldn't have to fall down, Brother Imam?
I was sitting down, but when she said you made it, I stood up. You know, I stood up. I ran back to my room and told him that I had made it. And, you know, when you're going home under that situation, everything that I had in my house, I told him, you can have it. I gave away everything, TV, the mattress, everything.
You became very generous.
Everything. And you know, next day, I walked out of there, and the first thing I saw was this woman here. And when I saw her, I said, you made it, huh? And she thought I was talking about that she had made it just in time to pick me up that day. But I was talking about the whole odyssey. You survived. I said you made it, meaning that you didn't let anything allow you to to part or to give up the deed or to give up the marriage. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
That's right.
You know, Brother Man, you know, a friend of mine's Mildred Elamine, she went down there with me. But I wasn't when we went to get him, of course I was very happy. And as we was riding down the highway, I was calling people, telling them I got him with me. I'm actually looking. And I told my son, I couldn't get the other one. And I told my son, Imam Abdullah, I told him, I say, pick that phone up. Don't be talking about you were talking about somebody, because I had to make everything short. So I called him. I said, he made it. They said he went crazy. He called his Uncle Paul. He said he started crying. It was a mess.
I know it was. So when y'all saw each other, you just couldn't turn each other loose. Probably the biggest hug you may have ever had before in your life. Is that on point?
But that was true. But understand that
she had been with me the whole 54 years. I was embracing her almost every week, you know. So
let me talk
on business,
about, well,
you know.
Well, you could actually do it in person. Let's go to the we've had some patient listeners here on IWDM mm-hmm. Radio, and for those who just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, the True Love Recipe, and we have an outstanding couple that have graced us here on this platform tonight, a very, very intriguing, a very, very informational, educational, sacred institution of marriage that they had that really tested, really, really tested his wife in terms of her commitment and dedication, her patience, her perseverance, her faith, and all of that. So this is your opportunity, so we want you to press 1. Those of you that's listening by way of the Internet, for you to be able to ask a question, make a comment in regards to this outstanding love couple and the sacred institution of marriage, you have to call into the studio once again. That number is 714-816-4673. Begin to press 1. Try to keep it very succinct. If you have a question, so we can give them opportunity to answer if we have a lot of people in the queue. So, the priest of high deep, are you ready? Do we have any people in the queue that have pressed 1?
Yes, sir. As of right now, I see 2 people with their hands raised.
Ooh.
We're going to go to 3.
Go ahead.
We're going to go to 346, actually another join. So 346-332, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum. State your name. Where are you calling from?
Yes. You're welcome to Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You have a question or a comment for our honored guest couple tonight?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Go ahead, brother. You're live. Yeah. We can hear you.
Jazakumullah khairun. I don't have a question. I have a comment. This is Brother Abdul Shakur. I've known Brother Yusuf Madyun for some years now. And in answer to Zubaydah, first Sister Zubaydah, you are probably, mashallah, one of the most magnificent sisters I've ever met. May Allah bless you and reward you. And Brother Yusuf, I haven't seen you in so long. And I can't wait to get back to Chicago to see you. And I listen to this because your story always inspires me, brother, you know. And I've taken your messages, what I've learned from you, but that those times that we shared together, I've never forgot, and I've taken it across the world. And so for the people listening in, you know, you have a wealth of knowledge with this brother right here. And the Sister Zubaydah never lied about us meeting him and coming back home and, like, just changing our lives because of the presence that he had in our lives. So I just heard him.
You're welcome. Thank
you so much, brother, for calling in and sharing that comment in regards to Imam Yusuf Manyun in terms of making contribution while being incarcerated. This is obviously really example of making, not serving time, but making time serve you. In terms of he still being a benefit to many that he helped. So thank you so much, brother, for calling in. Please continue to listen to the Kevin Marriage Learning Lab. Thank you. Press 1 after you're muted, after the engineer mutes you. Press 1, that completes the process, so that way we can keep the studio clear. All right, the priest of Hadi, we got up next?
We have 773-573. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum. State your name and where you're calling from.
Yeah, Chicago number.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. This is Sister Raifa. I mainly wanted to give salam to this outstanding and beautiful couple. I met Zaida, alhamdulillah, in about 2000 after I had made up. And I used to see her walking around in the neighborhood. We live in the same neighborhood. I used to see her walking around in the neighborhood, but I didn't know her officially. And I want to say that just her presence was such a beautiful dawah for the whole community. And she's been a dear friend. I've met Yusuf since he's been home, and the two of them are such a compliment to our entire community. And I wanted to add to the left in, what about nefs, keeping our nefs in check at all times?
You say you want to add, to the true love recipe here. What is the the word that you want to add?
Nefs.
Oh, nefs, in terms of soul. Okay, so what we'll do with that, because let me say that, just to give you a little backdrop, obviously this is your first time listening in. When I originally did the True Love Recipe, I did it with the English alphabet, and I did it listening to Imam Muhammad. He once said to us, he said, if you have anything worth saying, put it in a universal language. So when it appears in the book, it won't be just for Muslims only. So we can put soul when we get to the letter S, we can include that there, because I wanted to keep it with the English in that regard, in terms of qualities and characteristics that would be natural and organic in what true love really is and what it takes really to sustain and maintain, you know, the sacred institution of marriage. And obviously, this outstanding couple had those qualities, they had those characteristics to really maintain and sustain, especially our beloved sister Zaida. She had to have those things. But you're absolutely on point, my dear sister. You are, and Allah tells us that in our Shams, in the Quran, that the one who nurtures and cultivates the soul, they will be successful. And the one who ignores it, who neglects it, they corrupt the soul. So it is all about the soul in terms of getting back to the garden, getting back to the paradise. And it's like Christian brothers and sisters getting back to the heavenly state. So we have to guard, we have to protect the soul. Very, very important. So thank you so much. I appreciate that. And we will use that in terms of when we get to the letter S, in terms of the soul, because everybody will be able to identify, even though it's abstract, but it is a creation from Almighty God Allah. Thank you so much. Appreciate you calling. Please continue to listen in to IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, each and every Thursday here. Assalamu alaikum. Okay, thank you. Press 1. After you hear muted, press 1. That completes the process. All right, the Priest of Hadi, more in the queue with their hands raised up. Please press 1 now. So don't wait till the very end. You know, this is your opportunity to ask questions or make comments. This is a beautiful love story, true love here. You don't get any better than that. Press 1. And those listening by way of the Internet, 714-816-4673. You have to dial into the studio and press 1. And my engineer, Dapreesa Abdul Hadi, will inform me you got your hand in the air. Dapreesa Hadi, who we have next?
Yes, sir. 267-248. Welcome to Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab.
Okay,
state your name, where you're calling from, 27.
Assalamu alaikum. This is
Nanette. Alaikum assalam.
I'm calling from Delaware.
Oh, Delaware. Oh, okay. I was thinking that's close to Philadelphia, but that's not Pennsylvania. This is Delaware. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You have a question or comment for our very distinguished, esteemed guest couple here tonight?
Yes, I'm a native of Philadelphia, though, but Zubeda. I miss you, Zubeda. This is Nimad. How are you?
I'm fine, alhamdulillah.
I'm so happy to hear the outcome. Allah's most merciful. And
oh, yes.
I wanted to read this acknowledgement. It's very short, and see if it brings back some memory to your husband.
Okay.
I must acknowledge my editor, Youssef Mannion, who insisted that I not become hasty, but rather have a book that is well prepared. His wife, Zubeda, recommended his assistance, and I give much thanks to her for that. And that was for the very first book I had published called Mother's Wit, Commentaries for the Human Spirit. And he was my editor, and Zubeda was my support system. And
Alhamdulillah. What's your name again, sister? I didn't catch it the first time.
It's Nimat Marie. I currently have a column in the Muslim Journal on page 3 called Expressions of Village Voices. It comes out now, like every other week.
Every other.
I've been writing for the Muslim Journal. It used to be Mother's Lit column.
I'm not able to read now. But if you don't mind, I don't want you to give it over the air, but my engineer, so the priest of Hadi, if you don't mind giving her your number, and I would like to contact you for a future appearance here on IWDM Radio with me.
Okay. But I wanted to say, Zubeda, you know I love you. And I appreciate your teamwork. And the book did really well. That was during when we were having the conferences when Imam Muhammad was still here, radiallahu anhu. And we had a big sale of this book. It went well. Your husband was so persistent. All we did was correspond through writing by your permission. And he was so strict and persistent. He made me write things over and over and over until I got this book the way he felt like it exemplified excellence. And I thank you, brother.
Maybe one day, inshallah,
I can meet you in person. Hopefully, my husband and I will be at the conference and We'll be there, inshallah.
So
you know I love you, Zubeda.
I know, and I love you too for the sake of Allah.
And you've always kept the remembrance of Allah first and foremost in all our conversations, always.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So thank you so much, my dear sister, and we'll be getting in contact with you. Inshallah, probably would like to have you on as my guest on the MGM Roundtable, the Muslim Global Message Roundtable that I host here on IWDM Radio. Thank you so much for calling in. Continue to listen. This happens each and every Thursday here on IWDM Radio, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaykum. Please press 1 as you go out, my dear sister. Press 1, and that completes the process. All right, the priest of Hadi, we on a roll. Do we have some more hands in the air or not?
Yes, sir. 314-258, and please, the ones that, you know, still have their hand up, they press that 1, and, you know, so I don't get confused here.
Dear listeners, if you've been on and you had a question or you made a comment to the Mannions, I need you to press 1 at this point. and that completes the process. So when you hear muted, then you press 1, and then you won't appear on the studio. The way our engineer won't get confused at everything, though you already been in. Now, if you have something else to say, then you press 1 and go out. Press 1, you come back in. Okay, that's how it works. Okay, thank you. All right, so who we have next here? This is us.
314-258. Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name where you're calling from.
Assalam.
Alaikum assalam. Who are you? I know who you are. A very distinguished author in the high community, STL. Who are you, and where are you calling from?
This is Wally Fakan calling from St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like, my wife and I would like to wish our friends, the neighbor, and Youssef, the best. Youssef and I met years ago when I was imam down in Menard. And he and I, and we used to, they allowed me to go into the cells, and we would pray together. We had some long and beautiful talks together. And he and another brother, we were like three amigos, Brother Sage. We had some good times. It's kind of funny. I can say good times, but was it good times, Youssef?
Absolutely. You know, we're not judging our affair by the fact that I was incarcerated. No, no. The beauty of it was the relationship that we developed. That's what was good.
And we did have an opportunity to come to Chicago when Youssef was released, my wife and I, and we went to the masjid there where his son is the imam at, and he and I met, and we once again had opportunity to meet and talk, and we really enjoyed ourselves, and God willing, we plan to be with him again, but we wished him the best, and that's a love story. You heard of love stories, but that is a love story, and we pray to God that it continue, and inshallah, we will see them soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum
as-salam.
And so, Imam Wally Fakan, press 1. If you hear muted, press 1 so you can go out so we can keep the studio, boy, clear. Alhamdulillah. He's an outstanding author in our community here and been a long-time community member here. So we really appreciate him. Here in the STL, that's the gateway city of St. Louis. So, the priest of Hadi, do we have any more hands in the air?
We have 347-751. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name, where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Brita, and Brother Mark.
Alaikum assalam.
This is Walaikum Assalam. This is Sister Mahasan Abdul Salam from New York, call it the New Africa Territory. I am so happy that you're featuring this particular couple on your program. And I want to say that Sister Zubeda has been a lifelong inspiration for me. At the time of my marriage, she was a shining example of the longevity that Allah can provide when we are sincerely committed and bonded with our mate. Through thick and thin, as they say, I'll let that be the concept of the broadness of our level of perseverance and persistence. And Sister Zubeda, this is Sister Mahasan. You may have known me as Sister Leslie back in the 70s when I first came to Chicago. But
yeah,
I followed
Leslie. Yeah.
Yes, sweetheart, you are our shining example. You inspire me to maybe get assistance to write a book about the impact of your lifelong jihad, and may Allah bless you and Brother Youssef. I'll stop right there so you can reply.
Thank you.
But I could not.
Thank you, Leslie. I do remember you and your daughter and your son.
Yes, Yes.
Yes, I remember when you was in Chicago, they, yes.
Yeah, very, very committed.
Okay, thank you so much for the comment.
Appreciate it, Jill.
Thank you, Sister Mahat Abdul Salam.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes.
She's very well known, one of our educators extraordinaire, one of I would say one of our jewels in our community, Sister Mahasin. Allah has blessed her with a lot of insight and a lot of wisdom over the years. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Sister Mahasin Abdul Salam, for coming on, and I'm giving my opportunity to respond to your comments. Press 1, Mahasin, as you go out the queue. When you hear muted, press 1. Did you want to make a comment back in regards to that, Sister Zubeda?
Oh, yes. I knew her very well, very strong sister. And that's one thing Allah have done and used me as he wished. I was always attracted to very strong sisters, as well as I was attracted to those sisters who had something missing in their character, and I was always there to fulfill it. And a lot of those sisters, you'd be surprised, you know, but a lot of them had things missing, and I knew that they had things missing, and I would add to it to help in their character. And she's a tough sister, Leslie.
Okay. So that's you've been inspiration and motivation for a lot of sisters and brothers, too.
Yes.
Let's go back to the phone here at the lines and see the priest of Hadi. Any more hands in the air here?
Yes, sir. 267-726.
Okay.
Welcome to Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling for.
Like Philly number there.
Yeah. This is Mr. Gresina Majid Abdullah El Art.
Okay, honey, I need you to get a little closer to your mic. It sounds a little muffled. Please state your name once again.
Okay.
If you would. Yes, ma'am.
Let me see what I can do. Okay.
Okay, that's better.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
This is Sister Gresina Majid El Art Abdullah. And this is my family, really. And when I lived in Chicago, Sister Zubeda took me on as her daughter. And she took care of me. And Imam Madiun and his wife, they were so kind to me. And then when her husband came home, I was so proud to meet him. I'm so proud to even know them. And it's just a wonderful thing. I just love them so much. And I just wanted them to know that I was here to hear what you know, I was there to witness of many things that went on. And I'm listening, and I'm just so happy for you. And I didn't meet your husband.
Did he meet you? Yes. He said yes. You know, I can't. This is Mazda from out of Milwaukee, and you know I can't remember nothing no more because I'm on the other side of the fence, and the grass is greener over here. So forgive me if I can't remember.
Alhamdulillah. So,
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
This is beautiful. It's just like a family reunion here tonight here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. So thank you so much, my dear sister, for calling in and pressing 1 and letting the Menunes know that you are tuned in, you're listening in, and well wishes and everything for them. What a beautiful, beautiful love story here. Thank you so much, and please continue to listen into IWDM Radio, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, every Thursday here. Thank you. Please press 1 after you hear muted. Press 1. That way you will disappear on the studio. Boy, we want to keep it clear. All right, the priest of Hadi, we on a roll here. So do we have any other callers in the queue that want to ask a question, make a comment to our special guest couple?
Yes, sir. This is our final call in the queue, 650-669. As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to Courtship and Marriage Learning.
I'm not going to move this up. So, more
Assalamu alaikum. You are live. Can you hear? Okay. Okay. So you want to close that mic? Apparently, attention has got diverted, and all. And if we have time, we'll come back to them, give them one more opportunity. They didn't know that the mic had been open. Sometimes that happens. But with the few minutes that we got left here, oh, boy, time is really flying. Want to get into as much as we possibly can on this true love recipe. So I'm going to alternate, and if you can be as succinct as you possibly can in giving a response. This is my true love recipe. It don't have to be ingredients in your true love recipe, but I'm going to ask you. So we're going to start with you, Imam Yusuf. It's in for tonight, and the word nice. Nice. My son used to use that word quite a bit, nice. Everything was nice. I had to buy him a dictionary, so he would use other words other than nice. Everything was nice. But would nice, and now if you hear this bell, that doesn't mean that your time is up, but that just means that you inadvertently may have said another word that's in the true love recipe. So don't let that alarm you in that regard, and I'll let you know afterwards. So would nice be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it truly be a true love recipe? So you got like a minute and a half to 2 minutes to respond to that, and then I'll ask the same question to Sister Zubeda. Imam Yusuf, would nice be in your true love recipe?
Yes. What comes to my mind when I hear that, it's a reminder to me to treat your spouse, whether male or female, as a believer, and always be conscious of the fact that when your relationship with him or her, it's a relationship of believers, and believers always. As Prophet said, lower your wing to the believer, meaning that you're always generous, you're always kind, you're always nice to the believer. You guard your tone when you talk. You just don't say anything to a believer, or you don't say anything to your spouse because your spouse is a believer. And one of the things that occurred with me when I was visiting with Zubeda. In the visiting room, I don't know, I was spouting off at one visit, and seemed as though I'm talking as though I'm the only one that knows anything. And she had to remind me. She said, "I'm a believer too." And when she said that, a light went on in my head. I said, "Yes, you're right. I don't have any monopoly on the Lord's grace or his wisdom. He bestows his wisdom and grace." Grace upon whomsoever will. So I got to listen to you because I don't have that monopoly. You know, so this is what came out. This is what comes to my mind as I think about the word nice.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. When I say alhamdulillah, that means we have to wind it down because we're up against time here. So when I rung the bell, one of the words that you use in the true love recipe is NK, which is kind. Very, very important to be kind, and this was always exemplified by the Prophet Muhammad. He was kind to everyone, including his wives. So, Sister Zubeda, I'm going to ask you the same, and we'll try to get maybe one more in, as we're up against time here. We'll try to get one more in after this one here, if you would. Nice. Would that be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? If not, would it truly be a true love recipe? Mm-hmm. Zebeda, you got a minute and a half to 2 minutes to respond to that.
You know, I can't think. Listen, nice. You got me here. Let Yusuf finish it out.
Okay. All right. Yusuf, we'll give you an additional minute. Anything else you'd like to say to that? Because we got three others, but we'll take one more, which is natural after that. So let's do this here. Yusuf had opportunity in regards to that. What about, let's start with you this time, Sister Zebeda.
Okay.
Into is natural. Natural. Would natural be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, would it truly be a true love recipe? Zebeda?
Yes, okay. Yes. Yes,
okay.
I believe it will be because when you think of natural, you think of organic, the cleanest that you can get it. And I think in a true love, if being a Muslim, I'm going to be quick. Being a Muslim, you're always trying to clean up your act. And, I always think about with the imams that water represents, I'm sure it represents many other things, but he always said that it represents a moral. And it's plenty moral going around, you know, and sprinkle that recipe with that and organic cleansiness and, you know, good wholesome things. You can make it because, like I said, once we started on this road and we got it together, it's been straight ahead. And that's all.
I'm not gonna lie. No, that's good. Thank you so much. Good answer.
You're welcome.
All right, Imam Yusuf, would natural be in your true love recipe? And if so, why? And if not, could it really truly be a true love recipe without being natural? You got a minute and a half, 2 minutes. If you hear me say alhamdulillah, that means your time is up, bro.
Okay. Natural. The human being, he has a natural inclination to do right, to be kind, to be good. You know, that's his natural inclination. But oftentimes we don't yield to that natural inclination. We go off of it. And the Quran makes mention of that this natural inclination to do good, go with it. And if we go with it, then it adds to the beauty of a relationship.
Alhamdulillah, that's beautiful, brother. You did that's a very insightful answer that you gave, and a lot of wisdom in that the naturalness, you know, the natural inclination, because Allah put that in the fitra. He put that in the original nature. And if it's not natural, then that means it'll be artificial. So we don't want things artificial. And we know that Allah is the creator of everything, including nature itself. And what is natural for the human being, that is what it is that we want to have in our true love recipe, and we want to have that to as a preservative, you understand, for the sacred institution marriage to maintain and sustain that. So we want to thank you very, very much. I want to just say to our radio listening audience, we want to thank you, because without you, there wouldn't be an IWDM radio. And I want to thank our beloved sister, the priest of Hadi and Rashid Salam. They're the dynamic duel in terms of engineering. And all special thanks go to them. But we also want you to know, before we wrap up, that IWDM Radio We have other productions here, and the beat goes on now 7 days a week. As tomorrow, it will be Salatul Jumu'ah Day. Muslim worldwide, those who are immobilized, who can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir, from Noor Islamic Center there in Indianapolis, Indiana. It's each and every Friday here on IWDM Radio, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And now Saturday is filled as we had our inaugural new production, once again hosted by the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir out of Indianapolis, Indiana. It's the Muslim Book Club. Yeah, you just heard it, the Muslim Book Club. The first production in terms of the reading is on our Honorable First Lady and Mother of our community, Sister Clara Muhammad. It's a two-volume book, The Early Days and The Latter Days of our beloved Sister Mother Clara Evans Muhammad, the mother of our nation. We just got through the introduction last week, but there's more. It's a book that once you pick it up, you won't be able to put it down. So this happens each and every Saturday, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. Sunday, the longest-running production here on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Yes, once again, with the very distinguished Imam Mikhail Sahir, Words Make People. Sounds familiar. That is part of the theme of this year's 2023, Time to Be Grateful. And it happens each and every Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon. Central Standard Time is 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. Tune in, Words Make People, here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, he hosts a program called ABC, just like 1, 2, 3, but it's Al-Islam-based conversation. Yes, I said Al-Islam-based conversation. There's a variety of topics on Al-Islam-based conversation. You want to make sure that you tune in. And it happens each and every Monday. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Pacific Coast. It's 5 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Al-Islam-based conversation with Imam Nazim Pasha. Tuesday, the very distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam. He, along with his honored guest, returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. And their publication here is outstanding. It is The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. Yes, it's a learning lab too, The Science of Your Health. Everything that Allah created, there's a science that goes to it. And The Science of Your Health, you can tune in each and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, The Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab with Rashid Salam. Wednesday, it's the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and that would be the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, for the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, and we're using as an outstanding resource parenting skills based on the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet, practical application for various ages. Is an outstanding publication by the Bashirs. We do recommend that you get that book. It happens each and every Wednesday, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, and it's followed by the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable where I like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam Durbuddin Muhammad, also outside the community, as we had yesterday, as we had Dr. Leonard Belgian, who gave an outstanding, I would say almost like a workshop there on the MGM Roundtable. It happens right after the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. It starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's 7 p.m. Central, and it's 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time each and every Wednesday night. And you just heard it live tonight, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as we like to bring and present outstanding couples as we're on this true love recipe to give a narrative, and tonight it was an outstanding marriage narrative. It's a true love story. It's a story that you can make a movie out of, and a lot of money could be made from it. It just really warmed my heart. A special thanks go out to the Manuns in terms of sharing that with our radio listening audience tonight. And we want to say, last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support the Muslim Journal. You just heard Sister Zubeda Manun say how many years that she worked, dedicated, committed, working for the Muslim Journal. And some rough times, I'm very much aware of that. But it has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. So if you have your subscription, keep your subscription. If you have the wherewithal that you can give as a gift to a family member or maybe a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, maybe a pioneer in your community, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. Yeah. Last but not least, IWDM Radio, we do support this year's 2023 Time to Be Grateful that will be held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. And last but not least, we want to recognize our beloved sister, the priest Abdul Hadi, my sister and friend. She's an outstanding host on our sister station. That's AM 360 Radio. Yes, that's American Muslim 360 Radio. She hosts an outstanding production called Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. Yes, that's right, Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. That name might sound familiar. This is one of the first of the publications that our beloved teacher and leader, Imam Wahdi Muhammad, introduced us to Al-Islam in Focus. Well, this is catered toward new Shahadas, but as she likes to say, seasoned Shahadas. Every time I listen in, I even gain something and learn something. It's an outstanding production. It's each and every Saturday. It starts at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and it's 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on IWDM Radio. To be able to assess that, you just remember this number or jot it down. It's 515-605-9891. Once again, 515-605-9891. And they have sometimes they have a backup number that you can get in to, just in case you can't get in on that number. And that number is 425-292-4253. Once again, AM 360, 425-292-4253. Please tune in, listen in. I guarantee you, you're going to learn something. You're going to have a takeaway. And you're going to want to listen in each and every Saturday on AM 360. That is 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast time. Whatever it is that time zone you're in, tune in and press 1. She'd love to hear from you and all there on our sister station, American Muslim 360 Radio. And so a special thanks to my special guest couple and friends, Imam Yusuf and Zubeda Manun, for gracing us here. We want you to know that you always have an open invitation here on IWDM Radio, and may Allah continue to bless both of you all with many, many, many years to come. And with that being said, I want to say to you, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Until next time, assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. So, the priest, take us out with something here.
This is for the minions, and congratulations once again. Many more years to come, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Oh, that's so.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
Well, thank you so much, the Priest of Hadi. And that song is for our special honored guest tonight, Imam Yusuf and Zubaydah Manyun. And so until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you always. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, my brother.